Are you an entrepreneur with dyslexia? Well, this show is for you.
Do you want to do what you want? Do you want better money? Welcome to Dream Job Radio.
Hi, this is Daniel Laxtons, and you're listening to the Dream Job Radio Show. Now, today we're talking about entrepreneurs with dyslexia. So if you're an entrepreneur with dyslexia, you have to know you're not alone. As a matter of fact, we found that most entrepreneurs usually have some sort of learning disability, and that's what makes them great. So today I am talking with Juliet Hahn. She's a storyteller, a consultant, a public speaker, and a content creator. Her mission in life is to give men and women a stage to share their stories. She believes deeply that everyone has a story and that we can all learn from each other, and we just need to listen. So let's listen in to this conversation I had about dyslexia and entrepreneurs with Juliet Hahn. So Juliet, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you? So nice to be here.
Oh, I'm doing great. And that's what we want to do. We want to make people feel great and also learn something and see how they can discover their passion. And that's what I was really intrigued by you, is that you really are doing that. You're helping people to find their passion and to start their own businesses. Is that what you're doing? Or, well, first, before we get in all that, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I mean, my storytelling is a passion of mine. I love connecting people with the power story. So very quick, short story. Maybe it's going to, as I kind of talk about it, it might not be as short as we think, as I'm saying it in my head. But so I grew up right outside of Philadelphia, awesome family,
city
bunch
of love.
Siblings. It is a city of love. I grew up on the New Jersey side. So Jersey girl. And really quickly, I realized in school that I learned different than the other kids. My friends would all go off to Gifted and Talented, and I had to go read The Blue Dolphin with a teacher with just one other child. And I remember being like, huh, why are they going over there? And I have to go here. And long story short, I am dyslexic. And my mom was in education. She knew I was dyslexic. My dad's dyslexic. It's like runs in the family, but it was my first kind of thought about, so you're dyslexic as well, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
you get it.
I usually tell people I'm less dyslexic, you know, so that way it really emphasizes that I have dyslexia.
Right. Totally. Right. So, you know, so school was always hard for me. I did not love school. School sucked. However, I was a really, really good athlete. So I did end up going to university, and I played two sports in college. And when I was going to study, I knew I wanted to do something sports wise because that's what I was good at. Right. So as a kid, you're like, okay, well, let me go to something. So I went to go study corporate fitness and play two sports in college. And I remember really quickly, I had to go walk into anatomy and physiology. And at that same time, I tweaked my, and the correlation, I really believe in God. Some people believe in the universe, but I really believe that we all kind of have a path. And if we listen or we view the signs and think about the signs, sometimes it helps us get to our path or purpose a little bit quicker than typically maybe we would on a regular day. I stopped and I was like, okay, I'm not going to be able to pass anatomy and physiology. I mean, I probably could, but it's going to take so much effort. And I really don't care about all the bones and the muscles. So maybe I don't want to go into fitness. So I changed my major into communications because I am really good at talking. Even though I struggled in school with the written word, I am really good at talking. I'm really good at communicating. So
that's
I went into
that. Yeah. If you have a deficit disorder, it seems like a lot of us were really good at talking.
Exactly. And I also have that too. So it's all connected. Exactly. So really thinking about, you know, and I grew up in a family that we did praise our strengths. And so I knew I was really good communicating. I mean, I also remember in high school, I would be sitting there like before we really got into the semester. So the beginning of the semester, and I'd be talking to the teachers about what they talked about the day before. And I was always the kid that was answering the questions, and they, oh my God, you're amazing. This is so great. And then I would have to write the first paper or take the first test and I would fail. And they would say, I don't understand. You knew everything. And I was like, well, I can't get it out of my brain and put it on a piece of paper. I could tell you about it. So unfortunately, that's not the way school works, right? If you're in public school, they don't always make those accommodations. Things have gotten better. I have a son that's dyslexic, and it has gotten better. but the fight to be like, listen, I could pass it if I could just take an oral exam. It's the written part that's my difficulty, and you know those fights. So you understand.
And especially with dyslexia, we see the words backwards. So when we're reading a question and they're asking for something specific, and they're talking about two different things, and then if the mind will sometimes think that that's what they asked, so you had the answer right. It's just that it's written down backwards for them. So, but I think right. Maybe they should actually, I think that we're the ones that are normal and everyone else needs to take drugs that will make them more like us. Same.
Right. I love that. Well, and you know what the thing is, and dyslexia, as we know, it runs in different things. So like I did not have a hard time, the words didn't flip for me, but I just didn't process it the same way. So like my son, the words were like gram, like, you know, they would move around and do things like that a little bit, or my nephew, that's what actually what happened to my nephew. So we like run a long, deep lines of dyslexia. However, I would always see that as my superpower now that I'm older. So to bring you back to college, I started studying radio, television, and film, and absolutely fell in love with that, but went into the advertising sales part because, again, I didn't like school. I thought creativeness kind of went with the school thing. So I never saw myself as a creative person, but I knew I could tell a story. I knew I can connect with people through conversations. I knew I was very personable. So I went into the sales aspect of advertising. And which I loved, which, you know, I moved to New York City. I had a great career. I met my husband, had kids, stopped working, and then went into health and fitness. So I would teach people how to, you know, back to the sports, I would teach people how to move their bodies and eat healthy and, you know, kind of get those endorphins to have a better life. And there was a period of that time where I decided I was missing something. I loved raising my kids. I loved staying home, but I was feeling a little unsettled. So I decided I needed to create something. And I created my podcast. I created my consulting company. And really, that was in 2019. From there, it just has blown up. And I now, you know, I'm interviewing people through NFL. I have a partnership with the NFL Thread, which is the women of the NFL, which is really fun to listen to their stories. And I really believe that we all could connect in a certain way through the power of storytelling. So your listeners right now are listening to this and they might connect because they might be like, oh, my aunt's dyslexic, or, oh, wait, I'm just, you know, there's a little things in each part of someone's story that's going to make that connection. Maybe someone's going to think about, oh, I know, you know, I grew up in Jersey. So they're going to have that connection. They're going to listen a little bit better. So that's why I think it's so important to teach that and teach people to find their creative passion, because it's just going to make you a better human.
You know it. Yeah. That's so cool. And it's inspiring when you think about it, because sometimes you feel like, man, I'm the only one that's this way. I feel so alone. And then when you're talking about these connections, they're hearing the story and then they realize that, no, you're not alone. And it doesn't mean that your weaknesses are, doesn't make you a super person, or, you know, that you do have superpowers in that sense. You know what I mean? That you can do things that other people can't do because you're gifted in a different way. Do you think it's because we compensate, you know, so much when we're growing up in certain ways?
I do. I mean, I think there's something that is very, you know, and it's such a cliche, but you know, someone that is deaf or blind, their other senses are stronger. And it's the same when you struggle in certain aspects, you're going to have your senses that are going to be stronger. So for instance, my son that's dyslexic, his dyslexia is a little bit different than mine. He had, I don't want to say more severe than mine, but yes, it was a little bit more of a struggle to kind of help him through certain things when he was younger, and whether it's the male brain, the female brain, whatever it is, but he is so freaking good at other aspects. So like I wasn't as good at, if the teacher is speaking at the front, I would comprehend it, but he can actually then also be able to put that on paper in a different way than I was able to do it. So I think when you are struggling in certain aspects of your life, there's going to be certain things that you go to because you know you're good. So especially with the like interpersonal like relationships, he is so good at being able to read teachers and know what teachers will be able to help him and what teachers he can get away with stuff. And I know I was the same way. I would connect with certain people and know, okay, I have to work really hard because this teacher is not going to let me, you know, or she doesn't understand that I'm struggling here. Or I would have the teacher that kind of would be like, oh, I'll help you. And then you'd be like, okay, yeah, I can't do it. Can you do it all? Or you have friends that would do that, right? We all have that. And I think that when you learn about how people tick and how to connect with them, you're going to do it in a different way if you're struggling. You know, someone that just goes through school, and I'm not saying, because I have two other children that don't struggle in school. And it's interesting to see the connection that they have in a different way, because they both are very personable kids as well. I mean, I think that kind of goes with genetics. You know, but it's interesting to see my son that did struggle, that the teachers didn't realize actually how much he was struggling until we had to get him tested, because he knew what kids he could go to ask for help, but the teachers didn't see. And he also knew how to kind of take the teachers off topic if it was something that he didn't know. He was really good to start talking to them about, oh, what are you doing this weekend? Or, oh, I really like your scarf. Where did you get that? And they would say, oh, I didn't realize he was doing that. He was learning so much about them, because he was taking them off topic and off subject, because he didn't want to read that book, because he didn't know how, and he didn't want them to know it. So he would get into a conversation with them and they would think, oh, this is so sweet. Oh yeah, let me tell you about what I'm doing this weekend.
Well, that was my technique, was very similar. It was comedy. So, you know, if I'd said something totally wrong and I'm like, oh, I'm so embarrassed. And then I just throw a voice in there. It's like, you know, it's like going, well, I don't know about that. You know, I mean, maybe, oh, sorry, that's Trump. Oh, I did not know about that. But you know, if you make a mistake, I could just throw in a voice and it distracts everyone's attention from the mistake I made, because I'm so mortified or embarrassed. And then I would just use comedy to compensate that. So, wow, I didn't even think about it until you said that. That's what I did a lot when I was younger and in school. That's cool. So that's brilliant. Right. So are you saying that I'm brilliant?
Exactly. No. But so that's the thing. But that's,
and you're brilliant. Yeah.
Right. But that is, I think that we do that, you know, and we don't realize, as you said, you didn't realize that you kind of use it, but you use things that you were good at that you knew can kind of take the attention off of what happened.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Wow. So maybe we should get into also talking about things, because this is a Dream Job Radio show, and everyone that listens to the show is always trying to expand who they are. They want to find that their perfect dream job, and mostly entrepreneurs listen to the show. So it's usually someone just like us, attention deficit with a dyslexia. And they're always listening to podcasts or sometimes watching this on YouTube. And so what advice would, do you have maybe a top few things that, or at least one piece of advice or more, you can do whatever you want, but what advice would you give these ones just like us, and how that they can truly succeed and actually start a business for themselves?
Yeah. I mean, so what I do is I have a workshop that's actually self-paced. But what it does is really asks you very important, poignant questions. So it's really doing the inner work on yourself. A lot of people don't love to kind of think about their strengths and their weaknesses, because they maybe kind of deflect and, oh, I don't know. But really thinking about what you're doing at the moment, right? So like when you wake up, are you happy to wake up? Are you excited to get to your job? Or are you feeling unsettled, like you're missing out on something? And these are kind of things that you really need to think about. So what I do is I take them through a course that will help them find those things. And then also there's people that know, okay, I'm passionate about X, Y, and Z, right? I mean, when you're passionate about something, you can talk about it all day long, right? Mm-hmm. You know, there's people that are like, well, I'm passionate about so many things. I am the type of person, my husband will always laugh, because he's like, you're passionate about so many things. And I am, because I am a passionate person. However, there are things that I could talk about more and really talk about them all day long than everything. So that's something that we've kind of honed into on the workshop, because it's like, okay, let's really write down and let's really think about it. So when we start doing the workshop, there's something called success Success Accelerator, where we dive into like 9 exercises to help you kind of create a plan for yourself. There's a module 1. I have it very broken out. There's video ends where you can read, because I know myself, I like to listen to the video instead of reading all the stuff because of the dyslexia. It takes a little longer.
Me too.
So I have both options, and where in module 1, it really kind of helps you start to get unstuck. So we explore what makes you tick, right? What are your habits? What are you doing? Because that's the other thing, is a lot of times people don't realize that they're doing something every day that is actually not moving the needle forward. It's keeping them stuck in that spot. And so we kind of help on. Exactly. I help them find that, kind of dig it up. Then the other thing is module 2 is change comes with growth. So I really give you like my best practices, how I live my life for the most part. No, are we always perfect? No, but I give you my morning routine. I tell you, you know, kind of the things that I do. I give you little tips and tricks to kind of get, like, if you're not a morning person, you know what?
That negative voice in the morning saying, you know, it's like, I remember when I was like in my 20s, wake up and I look over, I'd see a couple of beer cans on the table. I go, oh, I'm a terrible human being. I drank. That was normal. There was nothing wrong with drinking, but it's just that negative sensation you have in your body when you first wake up. And so you're helping to teach the people how to refocus their mind during that time period.
Exactly. Wow. And then module 3 is about jumpstarting yourself. So we really start taking action. We really kind of like, if you have a business that you've always wanted to start it, whether it's a brick and mortar, or you always wanted to write a book or start a blog, or you have, you know, this product that you've always wanted to create, there's so many different things. And I also show you that, like, listen, I had this in my mind. I created this workshop in my mind. And I was able, if I can create it in my mind, you can put it into action and make something of it. Have I tweaked it many times? I've tweaked it a couple of times because I've just gotten better and better as we, you know, I've had clients go through it. They would ask questions. I'd be like, you know what? I'm going to add that. Or, you know what? I'm going to take that out. Or I'm going to adjust it. And the thing about the workshop that I love is I made it where you can finish it in a weekend. So if you're the type of person that overfocuses and just needs to get it done, you can do that quickly. It's not a month long workshop that's going to take you that long. Or if you're someone that really needs a week to do it, I do that. But I always say, don't do it too much too long, because I know myself, I've started many workshops. And if your listeners are attention deficit and dyslexic, they know you start something, you don't finish because you're excited at the moment, but then you forget about it. So if you really sit down and get to it, you can finish it in a very, like, a short period of time. It is compact.
That's so awesome. Yeah, it's exciting. And did you have a website that they can go to look at that?
I do. Yep. It's iamjuliethan.com, and that's IAM and then JULIETHAHN. And you'll see there's something that says work with me. And then it gives you information about the workshop and other things that I am doing.
Yeah, you're so full of energy. And I mean, and you're so passionate. You know, you're talking about how people will, if they just follow their passion, and you'll hear parents tell their children that, oh, you are, you're so lazy. And it's like, my kid just so lazy. It's like, well, what do they do? It's like, they just love playing video games. Well, actually, they're not lazy, because that's actually a passion. And you know what? Kids are making money competing in video games nowadays. So, I mean, it's right. Like, wow, whatever your passion is, no one is unpassionate. And that's what we're told all the time. It's like, well, because you didn't do the dishes, you're not a passionate person. It's like, well, yeah, he's not passionate, or she's not passionate about the dishes, you know, but they may be very passionate about certain other specific things that do relate to household tasks or whatever, you know. If we tap into them and help them to realize that they could do certain things, and then, I don't know, it keeps them happier. And then we can help them to actually do what their passion would be. And that's what you're doing for people right now, inspiring them to be passionate about their passion.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. And a lot of times, you know, also people will say, you hear people like, oh, you can't, you know, not all passions can be turned into a business. But I truly believe if you're doing something that you truly love, and you're not doing it, like, you're not thinking, okay, I want to make money on this. This is why I'm going into it, to make money. No, you're going into it because it's something that you love. And a lot of times if you follow that path and it's the path that you're meant to follow, so whether it's God or the universe that you're, you know, that you believe in, there is a path for everyone. I truly believe that. And not everyone finds it because sometimes we don't take the time to listen, as I was saying, to listen and see what has come into our path. Who are we meeting? Why are we meeting them? To ask ourselves those questions. A lot of times, I don't think people allow themselves to daydream and ask the right questions because they see it as negative. So, I mean, I think that's the thing, that it's not a negative thing to be able to daydream and think about what you want your life to look like. But a lot of people don't do that because they're either scared that they're not going to get it, or they just don't, you know, they've always been told, nope, you're in a job, you're doing hard work, just stay in that, but you're truly not happy. And that's not like, and you feel unsettled. That means that you're not doing what you're meant to be doing. You're not doing the path that you have been born to do. And so I really also tell my clients to find that time. And again, meditation can look like a lot of different things to people. If I sit and do the I go crazy. I can't sit. Attention deficit. I cannot sit and listen like and clear my brain that way. That does not work. I've tried many times because I've been in this field for now over 8 years, and I do not meditate like, you know, not everyone has a traditional way of meditating. I don't do it the traditional way. The time that I have the best thinking and the best daydreaming is when I'm walking my dogs.
That's,
I know that.
Perfect. That's a good one. That is.
Yep. And I do it every day, rain, snow, whatever it is. And it's good for my dogs, but it's also good for me. So sometimes I'll listen to podcasts, I'll listen to a book, music, catch up with a friend, or other times I don't do any of it. And I just let myself daydream. I'm out in nature, I think. So that's what I really want your listeners to do if they are feeling unsettled and stuck. I want them to find that spot where it is like a meditation. But again, some people find that a very negative word because they don't traditionally meditate the way, you know, that you see on TV or the way that, you know, YouTube Headspace is telling you. Literally, I've tried all of those and I end up getting pissed off because I think about what I need to do. Like the house is messy. I need to do laundry. I need to do the dishes. I think about the kids, you know, sporting schedules, what I have to do later. And I don't let myself daydream and think nothing and just think of the, you know, what the world could be or where I could be in the world or where I'm going to be in the world or, you know, all of those things. So that is really important to find that time to daydream.
Yeah. And that's cool too, because, you know, again, your experience, my experience, we were daydreamers when we were in elementary school and we always got, you're daydreaming and all this stuff as if it was a negative thing, but that's where all creativity is. And it's also where you're connected to God or the universal consciousness or whatever you believe. That's your connection. Your imagination connects you into the Akashic records or whatever, you know, that's where you get it. And you have to keep practicing it. Got to return to that childlike imagination. And I think that's what you're helping people to do is get back into that. Cause you know, even when you're planning a wedding or if you're planning to build a house, you have to visualize all of it and walk around it in your mind. And I think that most people are using their imagination just to make themselves miserable because they're just thinking about the past and how I could have done this or I messed this up. And this is their imagination. It's like, don't use your imagination for negativity. Use it for positivity to make life changes. And so, and meditate just means to think about it. Think about it. Or let me meditate on that and maybe sleep on it. You know, see, those are two things we hear, right? We always sleep on it, meditate on it. And there's,
yes.
I tell you, people get away from realizing that that's everything. If you're upset or worried, or I don't know what I'm going to do, it's because you haven't done what Juliet Hahn said, is to sit down and use your daydream about it. Use your imagination, meditate on it.
Right.
And choose.
Well, yeah. Exactly. And, you know, another thing, a lot of people will say, you know, cause there is like the morning ritual where you see a lot of very successful people, very similarly have the same morning ritual, right? They journal or they self-reflect or they do all those things. And I remember when I was, you know, first learning about coaching and doing that consulting, like sitting down and journaling for me is a nightmare because of my dyslexia. Like it actually stresses me out. And I was like, no, I hate this. I'm not doing this. I can't write in a notebook. Like I can't read what I said. My spelling is wrong. It just doesn't do it for me. So voice texting and leaving myself voice notes, especially when I'm walking my dogs or when I am in that creative world where I'm just daydreaming and thinking, oh, what's next here? What, you know, I met this person. Why did I meet them? Let's think about this. And then, you know, figuring out the different connections that are there. It's really good for me just to voice text. So all of our phones have either a voice recorder or you could do the notes. And I will do that because it is like, that's my journaling. That's my self-discovery kind of place that I do that. So again, finding what you're good at and how you can relate it and not beating yourself up that like, oh, I'm not sitting doing my affirmations or, you know, journaling, because I hate those things. I really do. I don't like any of them because of my dyslexia. Like, it's not easy. That's hard for me.
That's awesome. Yeah. We're so much alike. I mean, it's funny. But people like us are so much alike, but I do the same thing. You know, what I do is get into a jacuzzi. So if you have one, that's great. If you don't, you know, try to find one somewhere, go to the gym or whatever, but I'd get, or take a hot bath. And while in the hot bath, in about 15 minutes, that's when I think your mind will hit theta. And then all of a sudden I have all sorts of ideas. And I just pull my phone out and just talk to it. I do the same thing and keep track of those things. Or like you said, voice record. Another thing that they can do is also draw pictures of whatever they're thinking of. And that one picture, even though you didn't write a chapter in a book, but when you look at that picture, it brings back everything that you meditated on. So that's great advice, Juliet. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Is there any other things that you'd like to share?
I think that it's really important. Again, if you're feeling that unsettledness, now we all don't have like every day, do I wake up like, woo? No, life is round. Life is crazy right now. Right. Especially, I mean, if you have kids, it doesn't matter, whatever you're in the world, it's just a loony place. And so just also finding that balance where you're taking care of yourself and really kind of working inwards, right? So if you wake up every day for months and months and months, and you feel just unsettled, you're just like, life is okay. Maybe you're not miserable, right? You're just not, you're not excited. Like, you don't laugh a lot. You just go through the motions. Right. Exactly. You're not doing what you're meant to be doing. And I really challenge you to do something, whether it's, again, taking a course like the course I have or doing something else. And there's courses that are all different price points, right? There's some that are expensive. There's some that are not expensive. Mine is not an expensive one because I really wanted to give it to the masses, because I really, really, truly believe this. And I really think it's so important that we all could be better people if we are tapping into something creative. However that looks, like, as I said, I never saw myself as a creative person because of how I struggled in school. But then when I got into podcasting, when I got a little bit older, I realized I've been telling stories my whole life. I love stories. That's how I learn. I tell my kids stories. I always have been doing these stories, and I never wrote any of the stories down that I told my kids because I didn't see them as anything other than just entertaining my children. So go back and think about things like that. Think about when you were a child, as you were saying, you know, go back and think about when you were a child. What are things that made you excited? I had a guest on my podcast, and she was saying she was always obsessed with celebrities. She was a latchkey kid, and she, you know, was watching the Brady Bunch and whatever shows. She was always a little bit obsessed with celebrities. And as she kept going into like jobs and very smart, she did really well in school, it always kept like, she would get excited to think about like what, like how TV shows are made, or what, how did the people get the celebrities to be on the TV shows? And she actually now owns her own celebrity, like company, a celebrity source company. And so she's like, I just looked back. I saw that dream that I had when I was little to like know a little bit more about celebrities and how this whole world, and she manifested getting this, you know, this, finding this agency, buying this agency, and now having it. So thinking about and daydreaming about when you were a kid, it's not negative. There's something there to it. So it's something to really think about and look into.
Yeah. There's several scientists say too, that when you use your imagination and you go there, then once you bring your attention to there, then the mind really does go there, travels right through space time, and you're there again. So why not find all the goodies that from the past? You know, I actually did the same thing. And I was an extra in Eight Men Out. That's a John Sayles movie from 1919, the Red Sox threw the World Series in a gambling thing. And Charlie Sheen and John Cusack were in that film. And so I went down to the stadium, and because there is a big big stadium here in Indianapolis. I'm in Indianapolis this through Christmas because of my parents. The 60th anniversary is right now, and so trying to help out with the family right now. But I went downtown to where the Indians played, and that's what they rented the stadium, and they've made it look like a 1919 stadium. It looked just like it, and so
cool.
My brother and I were in the stadium. And so we're extras. They give you a straw hat, so 1919 and stuff. But I want to go and talk to those extras down there. I want to see if I could talk to Charlie Sheen or John Cusack. So I went down there, and there's this pompous kind of extra. And he was saying, he says, oh, yeah. He says, yes, I'm an extra. They cut your hair. They give you a zoot suit. This is so amazing. And I go, wow. I says, so what's the next thing you guys going to do? And they go, we're going to be at the Columbia Club downtown tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. You know, they're not there. You're not going to, a person wouldn't get in, you know, but it's only 20 of us. So, you know, too bad. And so that next morning, I skipped school. I was a junior in school, and I went downtown. And I just showed up, just stood there, stood outside with all the other extras, and they opened the door. Somebody overslept. So I got in there. And so wow. I got my hair cut. I got a zoot suit, and I'm standing behind Christopher Lloyd in one scene, but you can only see it for a fraction of a second. They cut me out of all the other scenes. But it was the next week. Once they knew me, I was there every day for 2 weeks filming, and they paid me $20 a day back in that day. And they'd feed right. you two meals. And, but at lunchtime I was walking by and I saw Charlie. I said, hey, I says, can I eat lunch with you guys? And he goes, sure. Sit down. So I sat down, John Cusack's across from me, and we just had a blast. And yeah, anyways, but that's one of my stories.
That's fun. Yeah.
But if you visualize, and that's what I did, I just visualized it's going to work out. And, bada bing, baby. And then you take the steps. You have to take those steps to get there. You know, you're not laying on your couch isn't going to get you
right. Exactly.
You just eat lunch with someone, a celebrity, but man, it's cool. Boy, you're just opening up my imagination again. Maybe I should do some more of that. No, I'm just kidding. Oh man.
But that's the thing. That is what stories do. And it really does. And I'm hoping that your listeners, when they're listening, that's what, you know, is happening right now for them. They're like, oh my gosh. Okay. You know, I'm thinking about it. Cause that is what I am very good at. I'm good at pulling out stories from other people, helping them kind of get their story together and then being able to share it.
So if someone wants to, and what I found is like what you said, if someone's watching this right now, there are coaches and things like that, but go with the coach that you connect with. And if someone clicked on this podcast at this time, listening to Juliet, and you resonate with her, how can they get in contact with you and how can they get started?
Yes. So really the website, iamjuliethahn.com. Again, it's iamjuliethahn.com is the easiest way. My email's there. There's, you know, all my socials are there. So, but that is the easiest way.
And listen to your podcast too. You have a couple of them.
My podcast is called, yes, thank you. My podcast is called Your Next Stop. And that is on every single Apple player. It's on every podcast player that you can imagine. But you can also find that on my website. There's a whole section that all my episodes go out there. I do have live shows that are under the umbrella of Your Next Stop. And they are called YNS Live, like Your Next Stop.
Yeah.
And YNS Live with NFL Thread, where I do have a segment where I have, I speak to NFL spouses about what it is like behind the scenes. And when your husband is playing, when they, you know, if they've been hurt, if they've been transferred, what is it like to, you know, to be the spouse having to run that house? And then when your husband's transitioning out of the league, how is that? You know, so we really dive deep into these women and, you know, it's actually been fascinating. So I will be at the Super Bowl this year, the week of the Super Bowl, broadcasting live, where they are doing a fashion show. They have a luncheon, and all the proceeds are going to really amazing charities. And people don't realize this is, you know, everyone thinks, oh, you're an NFL spouse, life has to be so easy. They work their butt off to do a lot of stuff, but they also are there, you know, as the main supporter for their husband and their families as they continue through the league. So that's a really fun segment as well.
That's awesome. Well, Juliet Hahn, thank you so much for sharing all that encouraging thoughts and helping people to see that they need to find their passion. They need to tell their story. And if you feel that connection and you want to learn more, follow Juliet Hahn. And thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. Happy holiday season.
Yeah, happy holidays. So wasn't that an encouraging episode? So if you're an entrepreneur of dyslexia, you know you're not alone and that you can tell your story. Juliet Hahn was really encouraging for us. And if you resonate with her and you'd like to get in touch with her, remember that she says her website is iamjuliethahn.com. So go there, check her out. If you need a coach like her and you resonate with her, please do. She's amazing. So that's it for the Dream Job Radio Show. I will be having these usually twice a month, but be sure to hit the bell because I still have a few other shows I'm doing. I got the Dream Job Radio, then we have the Roofing Business Builder Program. So I'm helping entrepreneurs to scale their companies into the millions. And so I also am working on releasing an inexpensive course on Law of Attraction. It's going to be the ultimate Law of Attraction course. And so if that's something you're interested in, to check that out. And be sure to check out my new TikTok. I started doing TikTok maybe a couple of months ago, and it's building up. Got one little viral video, so that was exciting. But if you need some positivity in your life and you want to learn higher levels of Law of Attraction, be sure to check that out too. So until next time, you're going to keep doing good. You're going to do great. You're going to have a better job. You're going to have a better business. May your life be blessed. And I'll see you on the next Dream Job Radio.